The next coach on the teleconference is Minnesota's P.J. Fleck. Minnesota hosts Illinois on Saturday, a 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time kickoff on BTN. Coach, thank you very much for joining us today. Would you like to make an opening statement or go straight to questions?
Go straight to questions. Thank you.
We'll open it up for questions now.
To ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. As a reminder, if there are no questions in the queue, follow 2 prompts, we will conclude that coach's portion of the call. Your first question is from Bob Esmussen, Champaign News Gazette.
Hey, Coach. What's your routine for the team on Friday before home games?
Well, we practice in the mornings. Then our players would go to class, and then we have a team meeting around 4 o'clock, and then we have some special teams meetings, some individual meetings, and then we head over to the hotel, and we do some things over there, and they get a good night's sleep.
Has that been changed over the years? Is that how you've always done it?
No, it's how I've always done it, yep. It's very consistent to how I've always prepared for games.
Thanks, Coach.
You're welcome.
Your next question is from Matt Trappage, Rockford Star.
Yeah, Coach, I was wondering if you could tell me what you thought of the way Demery Croft played, especially in the fourth quarter last week, and if his mobility when he plays brings maybe something, an added dimension to your offense.
Well, yeah, I thought he played really sharp, to be honest with you. I thought he did a great job of keeping the play alive and then getting to the second play on the scramble and did a nice job with his feet, delivered some nice passes, and got the ball in the hands of our playmakers. So that last 10 minutes is what you really want to see from our offense and what we're capable of doing. But we got a lot of work to do. We got to keep getting better, and we got to keep changing our best.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Again, if you have a question, simply press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Your next question is from Andrew Doughty, Hero Sports.
Hey, Coach. After Demery threw the interception late in the first half, you know, I saw you greeted on the sidelines immediately by, you know, probably 10 or 12 players tapping on the helmet, encouraging him. And then he came back with those 3 TD drives that you talked about in the fourth, and the confidence was pretty visible. How do you think that, you know, he benefits from having that support and that rallying mentality on the sideline, especially for a guy that doesn't have a ton of game experience like him?
You know, we talk about this, talk about bad teams, nobody leads, average teams, coaches have to lead, elite teams, players lead. So this has been a whole year of teaching our players how to be able to lead each other, right, not just waiting for a coach to do it. What I really liked about Demery was, you know, I know he threw the interception, but the reason why, he didn't step up in the pocket, and he allowed a defender to hit his arm because he didn't step on the up in the pocket and threw off his back foot. So very simply, I mean, players and coaches were, hey, just step up in the pocket and be you. And then he came back out and was him. So, you know, I think, you know, when you kind of get thrown in there, it takes a little time to be comfortable, especially when you haven't played a lot. But I thought he really settled down and, you know, got into the role that we needed him to do.
Your next question is from Adam Rittenberg, ESPN.
Hey, PJ, I was just wondering what happened. With Wake Forest and Louisville last year, the information issue there. Have you changed the way you try to keep game plans secured going into a game? Doing anything different since that situation came out last year?
You know, you do everything you possibly can with scripts, with in-house boards, with you know, with study guides, with tip sheets, things like that. You do everything you can to keep everything in-house. You know, I think it's really difficult at times when you take over a program. There's still a lot of people attached to the program, and maybe they want you to do well. Maybe they don't want you to do well. You know, and there's always that paranoia of manipulation at some point. But you just got to be able to trust your people. And, you know, we have a wonderful staff, people who really love Minnesota, who really believe in Minnesota and what we can accomplish here. So it's always in the back of your mind as a coach. I think, you know, head coaches are really kind of paid to be paranoid at some point. And I don't think you know a sense of paranoia until you become a head football coach. So, you know, there's been different things that we've done. There's been different things we collect. But you do everything you possibly can. But, you know, if somebody really wants to manipulate a situation, it's really hard to stop them if they really truly want to. But you got to do everything you can to make sure that people really believe in what you're doing and you got the right people in your organization.
Did you have to address it with your staff at all, Matt, there, as far as if anyone comes to you with information about another program, how to respond, how to, you know, how to handle that type of situation?
Well, yeah, I think the biggest thing is you do the right thing. You know, I think right. Every coach at some point has been somehow given information or, hey, I could get this for you, or I could watch this for you. However you handle that is your character of a man, as a man. And, you know, I will say our staff always does the right things. And in terms of that, you know, and we just haven't been had opportunities to do that. But my point is that the, you know, that tests your character, you know, and, you know, there's a right way of doing things and a wrong way of doing things. So, but I know our staff does everything we can to choose the best way to the right way to do everything we do.
Great. Thanks, PJ.
You got it, Adam.
Your next question is a follow-up from Matt Trowbridge, Rockford Star.
Yeah, hey, Coach. I think you guys are 110th in the nation in passing, and the Gophers have been down that way for a while. And, you know, what have been the issues with your passing game, and how much, you know, what do you guys need to do better?
Well, the biggest thing is you do what your team is capable of doing, and that's a sign of good coaches is that, you know, whatever your strengths are, you build game plans around that. Whatever your weaknesses are, you eliminate those as much as you possibly can. And that's what teams do, you know, especially when you take over in your first year, where, you know, our system might differ from some personnel that's here. But again, you adapt how you adapt your schemes based on the talent that you have within the organization. But I thought that our passing game's coming along. I really do. I think guys are working really hard. Our wideout core's coming along. Got a lot of freshmen playing at the wide receiver position. You know, our leading receiver is a sophomore who has never started, but really truly started before and been the guy. So, and we're, you know, we had a quarterback who had never really had many starts before this year. And now, you know, we're kind of in a quarterback duel with who's going to start even this week. So it's really our passing game. If you go back to even where we were at Western Michigan year one, it wasn't very good. And then it became incredibly dynamic as we went through the years.
And then going back to the quarterback duel, is it kind of back to what it was at the start of the year, or how do you see the quarterback situation right now?
Well, I think they both have experience, and when we get to Saturday, we'll play the best quarterback who has the opportunity to give us a chance to win.
Thanks.
You got it. My pleasure.
Yeah, next question is from Andy Greedy, St. Paul Pioneer Press.
Hey, Coach. Thanks for taking the time.
Hey, Andy. Yeah, you got it, man.
I wanted to ask about 2010 when you were at Rutgers and Eric LeGrand gets paralyzed. What did that moment do to you as a coach, and what have you seen out of him in the 7 years since then?
Well, first and foremost, you know, there was a lot of things I think we all learned as a coaching staff and as a football team to never take life or this game for granted, because it can be there 1 second and not there for you the next second, and you could be fighting for your life. You know, football is not supposed to be a game of life or death, and to be able to experience something like that changes your life forever. It puts everything in perspective. It puts winning aside, but it puts being the best human being you can be in all four areas of your life at the forefront of your life. And I think all of us can learn so much from Eric LeGrand that no matter what your circumstances are, you just keep growing. He was told he'd never do this, never do that, and all he's done is defy odds, and all he's done is inspire and motivate an entire nation to basically row the boat and keep chopping. And so, you know, Eric LeGrand's an inspiration to my life. He's an inspiration to a lot of our coaches. You know, I think at the time when we were there, I think we were 4-2, something like that, and I think we lost the last six. I watched the team really rally behind each other and really put winning aside and really put the main thing in life in terms of life at the forefront of their lives. And the appreciation for life was really brought to a different level that year.
Thanks, PJ.
You got it, Andy.
Coach, thank you very much for your time today, and we'll talk to you again next week.
You got it, Row the Boat, Scotty Mott. Go Gophers. Thank you.